Walking through the streets of Graz, Austria, I've just left the restaurant called Ginkgo. And I've been chatting for the last hour or so, easy, with the person people call Papa Ginkgo, the owner, Albin Glimmer. And what a fascinating man, with a fascinating philosophy. And an incredible restaurant, really. It's a vegetarian restaurant, but it doesn't say vegetarian anywhere. And you wouldn't get an idea from the outside. And you wouldn't get an idea from the clientele either. Not saying that a vegetarian stands out, but people just go there for the food, the great food, the organic, natural food. And the more I kind of... I've only eaten there twice today, both of my meals, bar the breakfast in the hotel. The more I learn about the place and the philosophies around it, the more I'm kind of impressed. And chatting with Albin towards the end of the night, after the restaurant had closed, we continued to talk. You can feed off the guy's passion. I don't know if he comes from hippie stock. He's in his 60s now, I believe. He must be in his 60s. He's been a vegetarian from very, 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 very young, but his own choice, not his parents. He said he's been a vegetarian for over 60 years. And he's got a ponytail, and he's had a number of different businesses, mostly based around either computing or the land. A landscaping business was one of his businesses, but he seems to have settled very much so with what he's doing now, because he was saying that what's the point in you doing anything really if it's not going to make society better, and how can you disagree with that? And he believes that by selling very reasonably priced, very high quality food, and he does this in really simple ways, really, by only dealing with the best local producers for the quality, but also he's just bought 1,000 kilos more, quite a lot of rice, enough to need a big storage area. But buying things that don't spoil, like rice, in bulk, he can bring the cost down. And I've eaten there twice today, and paid a tenner a time for a plate that was, I must admit, a little bit more full than it needed to be, with pulses and grains and peppers and delicious cheeses. As far as I know, everything is vegetarian. That's what they do. But I would never have noticed the lack of any meat on there. You wouldn't crave for anything. And I can't help but wish that there was somewhere like that. And you're going to say, oh, well, I know a good place like that, and I know a place like that. I really think you have to visit to make a comparison, because it is kind of this self-serve, big circular parade of people, all eyes on the food. I had a beer as well, and the beer was a bio beer. Even that was astounding. The coffee was astounding. And I'm just not used to such continually high quality across the board. And then you speak to the boss man, and you definitely get a sense of he's not going to stand for anything less. Life's too short. And he wants to make society better by slowly convincing people, by not asking them to, not telling them to, but maybe we should eat less meat, because there are so many knock-on effects from the fact we do eat so much, and everybody knows we eat too much meat. The environmental impact, the health impact, it's all evident. And I tell you what, if I had a place like that down the bottom of my road, I would eat there every day. Or the methods and variety that what was made there would definitely leach into my home cooking. because I couldn't get bored of it. And if the side effect is getting healthier, then that's totally all good with me. I just learned some fascinating secrets of the city as well. Tomorrow I'm launching the Elevate Festival with Dan, and it's in this mountain that I feel like I've explored, because the mountain is filled with old mine shafts and caves, and it's fascinating to think there are so many different hidden places within this mountain. But apparently we're only seeing a tiny fraction of what there is. And he was telling me about a group of guys that have some they were storing their small gauge railway, but they've done over a kilometre or a couple of kilometres of track inside the mountain in a place that's totally locked up and inaccessible. So they're just driving these trains around inside the mountain and nobody really knows they're there. I want to see this. And on the same topic of small gauge railway, there's apparently, you know, 50 odd kilometres and 35 odd kilometres going through Austria, which the former Kaiser was involved in, because he wanted to develop this, I think, Yugoslavia to Austria route where large trains couldn't go. And the trains that were going to run this route, which was never totally completed, but there are long lengths that are travelable, were the trains from the Suez Canal. I'm not sure if this is documented anywhere, but it sounds like an amazing story. The trains that were running supplies up and down during the building of the Suez Canal are alive and well and running what sounds like some gorgeous stretches of small gauge railway through mountainsides and woodlands. And what a wonderful story. So yeah, occasionally you meet a person who inspires, that you could just stand there and listen to all night, and he's one of those people. And wow, if I have 50% of the energy he does when I'm reaching to my 60s, then I'll be a very happy and a healthy individual. Right, I need to focus on these busy Grazian roads, or I'm going to end up getting squished. I just have the river to cross and my hotel to find, and then I might treat myself to an early night.